For our scripture reading this morning, we're turning to the Gospel according to Luke. That's Luke's Gospel, and we're reading in the chapter 12. And we're beginning our reading at the first one of the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear, in the closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what ye shall say, or ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour that which ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he defy the inheritance with me. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? I think so. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking upon the most serious of subjects, giving the most serious of warnings against hypocrisy, against false profession, against blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. And there's a man there standing listening to this. And all he can think about is his inheritance. And he said to the Lord, and asked the Lord to speak to his brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Isn't that an amazing thing? The Lord talking about eternal issues, eternal matters, things pertaining to the eternal welfare of the soul, and all he can think about is money. And he, Jesus, said unto him, verse 14, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And there we'll end our reading. We know that God will bless the reading of his holy word to our hearts for his name's sake. Lord, we thank thee for this comforting thought that Jesus leads his people. Like the good shepherd, he leads us by the hand and by his hand. What a comfort this is to our hearts. And now, Lord, as we turn to thy word to meditate further therein, we pray for thy help, for thy blessing. Help in the preaching of thy word. Give utterance, preserve and keep from all error. And anything that is of man, may it fall fruitless to the ground. But bless thy word. Give us ears to hear and understanding hearts, that we might hear and understand the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turning again to the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel. You'll find my text for this morning in the first 29. The Lord, speaking to his disciples, said, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." And I want especially to direct your attention in particular to the words, "neither be ye of doubtful minds." Neither be ye of doubtful mind. Our text for this morning is otherwise translated in many margin Bibles, "And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Live not in careful suspense." The words, therefore, "neither be ye of doubtful mind," are otherwise translated, more literally perhaps translated, "live not in careful suspense." In this passage of Scripture, our blessed Lord Jesus gives us some very practical advice as to how we Christians ought to live our lives in this present world on a daily basis. We hear many sermons which tell us how to die and how to prepare for eternity, and many which teach us how to handle adversity. But this sermon and the words of our Savior in this sermon teaches us how to live day by day. He tells us that we're not to be of doubtful mind, we're not to live in careful suspense. So the Lord Jesus sets before us this good advice, first of all, in a negative way, how we are not to live our lives in this world if we belong to him, if we're born again, blood bought and blood washed, saved by his grace. If we are his children, if we are saved, and on our way to heaven, the Lord tells us we are not to live in a state of careful suspense. Now, the word "doubtful" in our text has a variety of shades of meaning. Indeed, as far as I understand it, this is the only time this word, translated "doubtful," is used in the scriptures. And it has a variety of shades of meaning. And it most certainly indicates to us that we are not to live filled with anxiety and worry day by day over temporal and material things in particular, or anything for that matter. And our Lord Jesus reinforces this by bidding us to consider, for example, the birds of the air, the ravens, saying in verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have store nor house nor barn, and God feedeth them. Our Lord's argument here is very clear. He is saying, if the maker of all things provides for the wants of birds and orders things so that they have a daily supply of food, we, his children, ought surely not to fear that he will let us die of starvation or go hungry. My old mother, I like to quote her from time to time, for she was a well of wisdom. She reared 12 of us. And she used to say, God never made a mouth that he could not fill. And that's very true. And mind you, if anybody knew that, she knew it. She reared 12 of us without family allowance or government support of any kind. I'm not against it. I think it's good. But mother never received it. Except for my youngest sister, Edna. She's my young sister. She's a child of the family. She's only about 65 now. I'm the youngest but one. And my sisters, who are much older now, a lot of them still go to the Lurgan Church, where I go now in my retirement, went home. The Reverend Crane used to visit with them, and they brought a smile to his face when they used to talk about our young Billy. That was me. Our young Billy. So mother knew a bit about it. There were hard times, difficult times, times when she literally lived day by day, depending upon God to daily provide her food and food for us, the children. But he never failed. And she always would have said that. God never made a mouth that he could not fill. And the Lord Jesus says, why do you worry about things like that? Look at the ravens, look at the birds of the air, how God feeds them. They don't toil or spin. They don't have houses or barns. But God so organizes things, arranges his providence, that he sees to it that even these birds of the air have their daily bread, their daily needs supplied. And every time I go out and go for a walk, I really do like our little feathery friends. And I would watch them as I walk my little dog. I'm getting old now. I've got a little dog. My son said, Dad, get a wee dog, it'll get you out. It sure does. For even when I don't want to go out in the winter and the snow and the rain, it wants to go out. But I take her round the park. I still live in Banbridge, and I go round the wee park there, Solitude Park. And she's so smart. She knows the summer seat that I sit down on. After I've walked round the park, I get the last but one summer seat. And she stops at it and looks up at it and looks at me as much as, say, you going to sit down? And I sit there sometimes with the trees all around. I watch these little birds. And I watch them picking. They always seem to find something to eat. And I say to myself, our Heavenly Father is feeding the birds today. Now if he feeds the birds, he'll feed you. You see, the problem with us today is we're so used to having the larder or the fridge full that we forget we are taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We don't know what it is to live from day to day depending upon God anymore. But even when stocks are low, God will provide your need. When the Lord says we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread, he doesn't just mean a loaf of bread. He means our daily needs. And God will supply all our need according to his riches and glory, and we're not to worry about it. He also directs our attention to the lilies of the field. And verse 27 says, he says, they toil not, neither spin not, And yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God, year after year, provides these flowers with a fresh supply of living leaves and blossoms, he surely will not forget to supply raiment and clothing necessary for his dear children. What kind of a father do you think he is? Who has riches beyond our comprehension to let us go without needful supplies or foods or raiment? He will clothe the grass of the field and neglect us. He will feed the birds of the air and neglect us. Can't you see the Lord is sort of not only encouraging his disciples, he's sort of rebuking them for their own belief. Rebuking us this morning. We ought not to be anxious about these things. But perhaps the most powerful of all our Lord's arguments is found in verse 30 of our chapter, where Jesus says, "Your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Your Father knoweth. Yes, we're to ask. We're to come and we're to ask him to supply every need. But he knows what we have need of. He knows all our need. He knows all our wants. And he's willing and able to meet those needs and relieve those wants. And so we ought not to worry about them. Does he not say, does the scriptures not say, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory"? Have we not to this point in time received all that we need from him? We can say of his fullness of all we received. "The Lord is my shepherd," said David, "I shall not want." And so we're not to be of doubtful mind. We're not to go about filled with anxiety and worry and care about temporal and material things pertaining to this body. For God has promised to supply these things and will supply these things as our loving Heavenly Father, as any good father will provide for those of his household, for his children, so our Heavenly Father will provide for us, and we ought not to worry about it. I mentioned the large family I came from, and I mentioned how difficult it was for mother and father, no doubt, as we were growing up, to provide her every need. But I never remember worrying about it, not for one minute. Not for one minute. Because I knew somehow mother always had something on the table. And when we went to school, she always managed to get the uniform somewhere. Although the older ones didn't have a uniform. I had to wear a uniform. And didn't last very long. The elbows were out of it. The pockets were ripped off it. There was knees, holes in the knees of the trousers. But she always seemed to manage. And I never worried. And I never entered my head to worry about these things. I knew mother and father would supply my need. Therefore, we should not worry. Our Heavenly Father will provide our every need. It should not even cross our minds, these matters. We should not be filled with anxiety about these things. But I've indicated that the word doubtful has a variety of shades of meaning. To be of doubtful mind not only means that we are not to be filled with anxiety and worry about temporal and material things, but it means that we're not to be in a doubtful state about our souls. Yeah. We're not to be in a doubtful state about our souls. As Christians, we ought to have confidence in God. If we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we ought to rest in him and rely upon him and depend upon him. And know that if we have trusted him as our Savior, he will save us. And he will do just that. He'll not pardon our sin, only pardon our sins, but he will preserve us and keep us and present us faultless before his Father's face. And we're not to live in doubt about these things. We're to make our calling and election sure. So don't live in a state of doubt. Don't be afraid to examine yourself. Because as you examine yourself, which you should do, and you see the marks of sonship, and the marks of grace in your life, then that reassures you of your position in Christ and your salvation. I recommend to you 1 John. Read through it. It's full of evidence and proofs. It's designed to show people how they might know that they have eternal life, that they are the children of God, that they are the saints of God. And my dear friend, if you can look into your heart and look into your life, which you should do often and regularly and daily, and see, if you can see these marks, then you can conclude you're truly a child of God and live with confidence and don't allow yourself to live with a doubtful mind about it. What a terrible state. That's worse than being doubtful about food or raiment. To be doubtful about your soul, that is a state of absolute misery. Sadly, many Christians live like that. They are saved all right, but they don't run along the road to heaven. They limp along it. They crawl along it. They don't live in full assurance of salvation. They live in the hope of salvation that hopefully, probably, possibly, they may at last get into heaven. The Lord doesn't want us to live like that. We're not to be of doubtful mind. Not in relation to temporal and material things. Not in relation to our soul salvation. We are to make our calling and election sure. We are to see to it that we are positively sure, absolutely sure, that it's well with our souls. Are you sure of that this morning? Look well to your soul. Examine yourself. I'm not suggesting that you do this in order to produce a doubtful mind. I'm suggesting that you do this in order to be free from a doubtful mind. Make sure it's well with your soul. That's what the Lord wants you to live day by day, confident that He will provide you every need, confident that it is well with your soul. To be of a doubtful mind also means not to live in a doubtful state of mind. In other words, the word doubtful means to fly high, like a meteor. So don't be a high-flying, thinking great things of yourself, clapping yourself in the back and saying what a great person you are, and having these notions of your own importance. Be humble. And let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Seek to think like Christ. Seek to see things as through His eyes, as He sees them. You know, I used to get quite upset with people because of what people did to me or did on me. The hurtful things they said and they did. And then one day I realized the great truth that God has foreordained all things whatsoever cometh to pass. And that doesn't mean just the good things. It means the bad things. It means the bad things. And I learned that God is working all things, even the bad things, together for my good. So whenever I grasped that, I began to look at all those things, those hard things which people did to me, and I thank God for them, because although they meant it for evil, as Joseph said to his brethren, God meant it for good. So when you see these things that way, you can rejoice in tribulation. I used to wonder about that text about rejoicing in tribulation. How can anybody rejoice in tribulation? Well, you can rejoice in tribulation when you realize that even these troublesome, difficult times, these hard times, God designs your good. And they're all like a chisel that the sculptor is knocking off the rough edges as he seeks to produce that beautiful image of Christ in us and present us faultless before His Father's face. All these things work together for our good. And I've learned to say, thank you, Lord, for the chastening rod. I kiss the hand that wielded it. Lord, let me learn the lesson that you intend me to learn. Let me receive the correction that you intend by using the rod upon me. My, whenever you realize that God's looking after it all, it's all in His care, it's all under His providential care, then you see things differently. And you look at things as through the eyes of Jesus. And you have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. You see things differently. And so we are to make it our business in life to live free from anxiety, anxious care and worry and annoyance. To live in a state of absolute confidence and assurance of our soul's salvation. To have a humble mind. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. To see things as Jesus sees them and think as He thinks. And how differently He thinks from the rest of the world. Don't be of doubtful mind. And the Lord says to us, if we live with confidence in God, and if we're not of a doubtful mind, then all these things which cause us to worry at times and be anxious, all the things we're anxious, God will supply these things for us. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we're not to give priority to material things and worldly things. We're to give priority to seeking the kingdom of God. We should every day be seeking the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean we're to neglect our business or our work. Of course we're to do that. Of course we're to provide for our families. But they're not to have priority. As it is with some people, they work, they eat, they sleep, they drink, work, 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 business, 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 money, 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 houses, houses, cars, material things. That's all they live for. They take priority. The Lord says, no, no, no. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let that be your priority. Let that be your priority. How do we seek the kingdom of God? We seek it by seeking to enter into it. Seeking to enter into it. That should be our priority. Make sure we're in the kingdom. We're to strive to enter in at the straight gate and to walk in the narrow way. Strive, says Jesus. Strive. You see, there are things that would hinder us. Things that would hinder us. The devil would hinder us, for one thing. The devil's real, you know. He's very real. He's not just an influence. He's a real person. And he's on your tracks every day. And he seeks to hinder you. He seeks to hinder you entering in through the straight gate, which is faith in Christ, which is Christ alone. And that's the only way that leads to the way that leads to life and leads to heaven. He'd seek to hinder you. The hardness of the human heart is another thing. The allurements, the attractions of the world, all these things would hinder us from entering in at the straight gate and into the narrow way. But we're to strive to enter in. We're to make it our daily business to seek the kingdom of God, to seek and to make sure that we are in it, that we have an inheritance in the kingdom, that we're part of it, that we're heirs of the kingdom. Seek it first. Put it first in your life. Every day that you live, put the kingdom first. And then seek, once you're sure you're in it, to advance it. Do all in your power to advance the kingdom. Some people are just happy to be in it. Oh, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, that's it. The rest of the world, well, that's their problem. but we're to seek to advance the kingdom of God. And whatever way we can, whatever way we can, to influence our neighbors, our friends, our family, our community. Do whatever we can to advance the kingdom of God. Give priority to that, not to seeking ourselves, not to seeking our own comfort, our own ease. We are to give priority to the kingdom of God, seeking to advance it, seeking to make sure we are in it first of all, and seeking to get others into it, and seeking to advance it in the hearts of men. So then, dear friends, if you're saved this morning, it's not God's will for you to live in careful suspense or to be of doubtful mind. He wants you to know his peace and his joy and the happiness which only he can give, that happiness which endures and overrides even the troubles and trials and pain of life. That's what he wants for you. Is that how you're living? We're not to worry about these things. We're to put God first. His kingdom first. The matters concerning our souls first. They're the priority. That's how we're to live every day. Not just on Sunday. Every day. Every morning we rise. That should be our priority. To live for God this day. To advance his kingdom. To assure our hearts that all is well with our souls. To live above doubt and fear. In relation to our souls. And free from worry and anxiety about temporal and material things. Now, perhaps you're here this morning. And you're unconverted. But you never worry about these things. You never worry about anything. That's strange. There are people like that. There they are. They're on the broad road that leads to hell. And they don't care. And they don't worry about it. They don't think about it. They don't worry about temporal and material things anyway. There are people like that. But you need to seek first the kingdom of God. Perhaps you're just living for this world. For the pleasure of this world. For the comfort of this world. For the joy of this world. For what this world can give you. Living in total neglect of your soul. Do you know what Jesus said? He says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Oh, dear friends, let each and every one of us this morning not be of doubtful mind, especially those of us that are saved. Let us not be filled with anxiety about temporal things. Let us not live in a state of doubt about our soul's condition. Let us make it sure, our calling election sure. And let us live for the furtherance of his kingdom. Let us live for the advancement of his kingdom. And trust the Lord to provide our every need, to take care of us, whether those needs be temporal or spiritual. Leave ourselves in his care. And if we're here this morning and we have one track mind, namely the world and its pleasures and its joys, may you hear the voice of Jesus saying, "What will it profit you if you gain it all and at the last you lose your soul. Oh, may you think most earnestly in these things and look well to your soul. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning for his name's sake.